Hello and welcome back to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous people who love to talk shit.
From the overthinkers and oversharers to the fearful and the fearless, from friendships to social injustice to our joint love for wine, obviously, we've got you covered.
You'll be joined by me, Kelsey Menzies, an aspiring producer and journalist, I guess.
And me, Bella Rutherford, a public relations coordinator in training.
Lovely.
Before we get started, the views discussed in this podcast are exclusively our own. We are not experts and we are certainly not claiming to be. We wanted a space to discuss, critique and analyse the good, the bad and all the shit in between that comes along with being in your 20s. So enter Podcast 23. We are learning as we go and are sure to make mistakes, but we are super, super excited to give this a crack and just see what happens. Hey, hey, Kels, what's going on?
Hey, Belle.
What's happening?
Not much. We're just here at your house recording the second episode, which is very exciting.
Just chilling in my bedroom.
Just chilling in your bedroom. I can hear the chicken outside.
Hanging out. Hey, I heard the funniest thing yesterday. I was watching this comedian on Netflix last night, and he was talking about how a couch is a much more relaxed item of furniture because it doesn't necessitate a whole room and it doesn't want to be named after a whole room. So it's like the chiller cousin of the bed, which is the bed is like some dominant like being that wants to be a whole room named after it. It's a really interesting thing. Just going to create a petition to rename the lounge room the couch room. I just want to give it, you know, the onus that it deserves. I want to give it its own space.
Yeah.
I want to make it feel precious and loved and considered.
I mean, they're important pieces of furniture.
Huge. They are our lives. We do some of the funnest things in our lives on the couch.
Yeah.
Eat pizza, watch our favorite movies, hang out, possibly boink. There's so many things.
I think you're putting too much.
He just really made me question everything.
What has your week looked like?
My week has looked like delightfully busy. Uni, work. I went to IKEA yesterday. IKEA is fun during the week. I would not suggest going on the weekend, however.
No, never on the weekend.
And especially, just note to everyone, take your little brother with you and make him push around the trolley because it just makes it way more fun. And it's a little bit sadistic, but I'm just going to roll with it anyway.
Just bring anybody that will push the trolley for
you. Yeah. Bring anyone and like bring someone that's enthusiastic about pushing the trolley. Like that was his whole thing. The whole drive there was like, I just want one of those like fun trolleys. Also, going through that knick-knack section at the bottom of IKEA is the most dangerous place in this world, arguably.
Yeah.
My bank account hated me after I left, but I bought some fun stuff, some pink bowls, a pink chair. It was a very pink-orientated IKEA shopping trip.
Yeah, you've
gone with a theme
here and you're really stuck with it.
I know. So one huge thing that happened to us this week, obviously, if you can't already tell, is...
We released the podcast.
Okay. You know how last week we said R&B horn? This week, that needed a drum roll.
Oh.
We really need all these sounds in our life.
Let's do it again. Okay, insert drum roll here.
Brrr, it sounds like a helicopter.
We released the podcast.
Ooh, very excited.
Very excited.
We got some awesome feedback. We're really, really excited with how much engagement we got with it from the get-go. Some very interesting feedback. One more thing to run through as well from last week's topic that I wanted to highlight. We both went into detail about how we expect honesty and open communication from our friends, and that really is the foundation of a long and fruitful relationship with somebody. In saying that, also on the other page, you need to take that honesty and communication and openness well. If somebody is showing you the respect of being open and honest, you then can't lose it or get upset or annoyed. Like, and I know that that's also one of those things that's easier said than done. But if somebody's showing you the courtesy of being honest with you, you need to then learn how to receive that honesty well. And that's something that I know that I definitely struggle with. And it's really easy to react and feel attacked or upset or frustrated in these contexts. But you as the receiver, or any of us as the receiver, also have to learn to say like, thank you, I appreciate you being honest. It does upset me. However, I know that you're doing the right thing and I really appreciate it.
I think we have to get really comfortable saying things like, I didn't understand that, I'll work harder. Or I need to go educate myself more on this. Thank you for bringing it up to me. Or even thank you for raising this concern with me. I need to work hard at this. But I want to know, what brought you the most joy in the last fortnight?
That's a wonderful question. I think it was on Sunday I went for a walk and I was a little bit hungover. and I was just, you know, having some moments. But then like going around and it was so sunny and it was so beautiful and it was like 19 degrees and the sun was out and I was looking at the ocean and it was just so comforting and just made me feel so much better about my life.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the best highlight of my fortnight week was I spent the day with my sister and her partner on Sunday with my partner, which was really nice. It's just nice when the people that you love most in your life get along really well. And it's very interesting because Storm and I have very similar mindsets and we agree on a lot of things, but that means we're Scottish as well, so we're very strong-minded and
stubborn
and
in a great way.
Yeah. And Tom and Nathan are a lot more, they can hold their own, but they don't fight like we do. So it's an interesting dynamic, but it was really nice. Look, on the flip side, the shittiest thing that happened to me was we went out for a friend's birthday on the weekend and Bella went home responsibly at like 11 p.m.
Hey, I am just, my body is a temple and I'm going to treat it that way.
However, I decided to stay out till 1:30 in the morning, which was a terrible decision. Nothing ever good happens at the after party. Okay, very rarely do good things happen at after parties.
I think it's one of those things where it either stays as fun or gets less fun. Rarely does it ever get more fun.
I remember so well sitting beside like a bonfire or something with one eye like open and the other eye like closed and not being able to like blinking lightly, not being able to communicate. I was so pissed. Like I was very drunk.
I wish you guys could have just seen Kelsey's replay of her eyes doing that just then. I'll try and record it and put on Instagram. That was a dream.
Oh, it was so bad. But I am going to try better at not getting myself to that stage of drunk.
I mean, when I was there, you were delightful. You were like three cosmos deep. You look like you're on Sex and the City.
Yeah,
you were just flying high over there.
It's been a great time.
Living the life.
Everyone's talking about the coronavirus restrictions coming back into play. So I feel like part of me was like, I'm going to live this night up. I'm going to live it up.
Absolutely. Make the most of it.
But I just, like I always do, I took it too far.
I feel like everyone in their early 20s has had that same experience where you're like, this is great. Oh, what? Everyone can relate to that. Everyone's had those nights.
Yeah. Anyway, that was about as eventful as my life has been.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful.
Love it. Tell us, Kelsey, what do you have for us this week?
As we aggrandized a bit there, the podcast came out last week, which is super exciting, so nerve-wracking.
But thrilling, and we both had so much anxiety the morning after we saw each other. And we were like, did you sleep? And Kelsey was like,
Nope.
I'm like, cool. Yeah. We're in the same boat. Love that.
Yeah. It was a proud moment. Creating something from scratch, putting blood, sweat and tears into something we're super passionate about.
Especially something we've been talking about for close to a year that it finally came to fruition.
Yeah, and doing something for ourselves despite that perceived judgment, just putting it out there in the world. The past fortnight has also been filled with so much dread and angst, and I keep going through these waves of, oh my God, this is really good. We've created something really fun. And then I go to the other side where I'm like, holy shit, why did we do this? We're such losers. We're going to fail. Why did we ever think that we could do this? We now know that feeling is imposter syndrome. It's such a weird thing to experience, but we all experience it. Women and minorities in particular experience it disproportionately to men. And it's not clinically diagnosable, but it's linked to depression and anxiety. And someone that has a long history of anxiety, it's definitely something that I struggle with all the time.
We talk about this all the time in our friendship is like, do we just go for it or do we not? And where do we struggle and where's the line drawn and where should we just put all our eggs in the basket and just have a red hot go and see if it works out? And if it doesn't, cut our losses and be happy that we learned. Success isn't the end goal. Success is the pathway you take to get there. And it's taking everything as it comes and it's learning from your mistakes and not remaking those same mistakes and growing and bettering yourself, which, you know, if you never get started in the first place, you're never going to be able to take yourself on that path or take yourself down that track and explore what you really like and what you really enjoy.
Well, a study published in the International Journal of Behavioral Sciences suggested that more than 70% of people are likely to encounter imposterism, and a third of millennials experience it too, according to the Independent. A third. That's a huge number of young people experiencing this overwhelming feeling that they're frauds and that they don't actually deserve any of the success that they've received.
I think as well, we do have so much pressure on us going into the workplace. I mean, now more than ever with coronavirus too, our options are limited. Job environment is changing so quickly. We're all trying to be as adaptive as we possibly can. And lots of people are getting left behind in regards to, you know, soft skills and more complex skills that we need in order to actually, you know, undertake certain professions. And there is lots of pressure on us to succeed at such an early age and to hit targets and goals that we haven't set for ourselves, that have been set externally from us, that aren't achievable and aren't realistic. And they should be aspirational, not concrete. They should be viewed as things that we get to like utilize as vehicles to push us further and to motivate us, not as them being exactly what they are and us not being able to deviate from that idea of normality or the expectation that society, our parents, our teachers, our university has.
Something that I found really interesting, an article in Quartz by Christine Liu. She was talking about one of the psychologists that actually coined that term, imposter syndrome. Her name is Dr. Pauline R. Clance, and she said that she regrets calling it a syndrome and prefers the word experience, because calling it a syndrome puts the onus on the person and dismisses the toxic culture that creates those feelings in the first place. I think it's the Instagram effect when we look at it in a modern landscape. That instant gratification we crave from social media leaves us feeling so empty when we don't get it.
That instant gratification. And if we're not getting that, then we're not doing the right thing. And I think that we really need to change this narrative around and say, we all know this and we've heard this time and time again. It is a highlight reel. It is the best part of everybody's lives. You're never going to put all the crap and all the bullshit on Instagram for everyone to see. And even if you are putting in insights into your world, or you are trying to be more transparent, all of those things are still curated and well thought out. All of those instances of seeing the inside of somebody's life or the inside of somebody's world, they're still put on there for a specific purpose. They're not just there to be open and transparent. They're there to portray a certain message or to unpack a certain situation. There's no point in letting any of these things affect you. Use them as like a motivation tool, but don't take them as for face value. You can't take them at face value.
It's so hard to detach your worth from it though, because it's become so ingrained in our culture, or at least being young people. I've had so many experiences where I'll be feeling really good in myself. I've done really well at uni. My teachers have put me up for internships, and then I've posted something outside the realm of pretty photos or
delightfully aesthetic pleasing content or a pretty flower,
which gets no traction, which I don't actually really care about that much. I think it's a really dangerous way to validate yourself, but it's
also unnecessary to you as a human. That's not your profession, that's not your job. You're not trying to make money off Instagram. It's a personal private platform that you're utilizing to communicate with your friends.
Yeah, but somehow in those moments I'll convince myself that I'm such a failure, like, why did I even bother? I shouldn't have done, you know, I don't deserve any of that success that I got. And the thing is that those two things don't have any correlation to each other.
Logical. That's not a logical thought process one to the other.
The worst thing about it is that I'm very aware of it as well. I know that this is happening, but I still can't help but feel
attached,
yeah,
to the thoughts and the feelings that come along with interacting with this platform.
And like I said before, when you have pre-existing mental health condition, the pressure can be insurmountable. And that's kind of where I think that illogical thought process comes from, is because having disordered thought patterns in the first place makes it really easy to continue with these really bad behaviors.
What do you think then? Because I have definitely experienced this too, and I know that I've always had this fear of speaking out for things that I'm passionate about, which, I mean, you and I are really passionate individuals. We really care. You are way more informed than I am, but we both...
I don't think that's true. I think we both bring different things to the table. Oh,
thanks, girls. But okay. I think that there is such a fear of, I will openly speak about my opinion on feminism, my opinion on equality, my opinions on social justice issues with anybody that comes into my, you know, physical realm.
Orbit.
Absolutely. I'm happy to talk about that because I care and I want to be able to unpack things and understand things better for myself, and I want to be able to share my knowledge where I can, but also learn from others where I can. And then translating that on social media, I am petrified to translate that passion across to a platform that actually could end up having
such bad consequences.
Bad consequences, but it could end up having better consequences than my conversations in real life. Like the amount of people that I can reach on those platforms in comparison.
It's bittersweet in that way.
In saying that, now that we've kind of talked about that, do you think that because I know that I'm self-aware that I let that stuff get to me, and I know that you've just stated that you are too. Do you think that, like, what's the next step after awareness? Have you ever thought about tactics that you can kind of put into place to help deal with that a bit better?
I think the biggest thing for me that's helped me a bit is to identify the thought patterns and then actively work against them. If I find myself, you know, sometimes you go into those like black holes of Instagram and you'll find some like obscure page that has nothing to do with your life. And somehow you start going, oh, my stuff is not as cool as that. Like, why do I even bother? It's kind of like learning how to identify that. What these people are doing isn't what you're doing, and equating the two as well. Even starting this podcast again, trying to create, you know, an Instagram page, it's like a completely unknown world to me. And as much as I love seeing all the beautiful stuff that people have created, it's also really daunting being like, well, fuck, here's this huge mountain and we're like kilometers away from even the bottom of the mountain. How do we
start our ascent up to the top of the mountain? Like, where do we even get going?
But also without degrading our mental health in the process. When you start things like this, it goes hand in hand with Instagram and stuff like that. I was talking to another friend of mine who said they were applying for, maybe it was you, Belle, or you knew, maybe you told me this story. Maybe I'm secondhand telling this story, but
tell it anyway.
Someone was applying for a job, and on the resume, it was, what's your Instagram handle and how many followers do you have? Like, that was a
telltale sign of your intelligence and ability to do the job properly.
Like, the amount of, like, it just seems, it's really hard to start something in the media landscape, or even if you're doing art and illustration, graphic design, it's really hard
marketing,
to...
Marketing, public relations, events, anything, yeah.
It's really hard to start a business and walk that line of hypocrisy, because we don't want to be influencers or anything like that, but we also do need to grow a following to get what we want to do out there. And it's a balancing act, and how do we do that thoughtfully and considerately? I think it's something that we always have to work on, and we have to take our mental health into account as well.
Absolutely, I completely agree.
Something that I also find, I kind of mentioned it before, is that there is a massive gap between men and women when it comes to imposter syndrome. There are different expectations for women than men across all cultures. Women are being brought up in this world where we have that narrative of you only succeed if you sleep with the boss, or you've only succeed if you've inherited your success, or you've been given your success. And that's been splashed across all types of media since broadcast and print began. It's reverberated into the understandings of ourselves, and implicitly too. We hardly even recognize these things. We just kind of do them. It's expressed in that imposter syndrome feeling and then the behaviors that come from it. And I think it's something that really needs to be changed. And like I said, identifying it within yourself and trying to actively
have that hard discussion with yourself. Why am I having this thought? Why am I...
Is it the patriarchy or is it me?
Yeah. And if it's, you know, if it's something that you maybe feel like you don't have the right skill set, or you feel like you need to go off and do a bit more work in order to get to the place that you want to be, like, absolutely. Like, recognize that within yourself and be honest with yourself. But don't allow yourself to stop doing something that you think you'd be amazing at, or you want to try, or you're passionate about, because you're concerned that, you know, people aren't going to take it well, or they're not going to be supportive. Like, be supportive of yourself and be supportive of what you know you are able to do, your abilities, your, you know, your experience and your passions, and just have a go.
Just a side note, I feel like we can't talk about this without considering intersectionality, because people of color and First Nations people would have completely different experiences of this too. Like, we're women, so we understand what it's like to have that patriarchal idea of success implanted in our brains. People of color and First Nations people would have really different experiences of this as well. We're not either of those things, so we can't really go into depth about it, but
we just want to acknowledge that.
We just want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, and we're talking from our personal perspective on this and like what we've experienced, but there definitely are a lot a lot more complexities that come along with this topic.
So many more complexities which need to be considered. We come from pretty privileged positions where we live, so many other things. So this affects everybody so differently.
Absolutely.
There was this brilliant piece in The Atlantic called The Confidence Gap by Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman. And they talk about imposter syndrome as just an overall lack of confidence and how the nature of confidence is elusive and it's hard to measure and define. This is a quote. It says, success, it turns out, correlates just as closely with confidence as it does with competence. So if you're confident and you lack competence,
you can still be just as successful.
You can still be just as successful, which I find really mind-boggling. And it makes sense as well. Like if you're working in business, having the people skills is often just as important as actually being able to crunch the numbers.
Studying media, this is exactly what we learn. One of my subjects this particular semester is pretty much 90% based around soft skills. Empathy, understanding, compassion, integrity, honesty, all of these skills which are not measurable by any stretch of the imagination, but are so necessary in order to succeed in any form of business landscape. And, you know, we're about to enter the workforce and this is one of the third year subjects that they're teaching you, which just shows the importance that it holds when entering the job market. These skills are transferable across any position. You can utilize them in any industry and they are so necessary for success.
I really think that confidence is something that needs to be nurtured in young women and minorities and break down some of those stigmas and patriarchal hierarchies and ideas that place more worth on the actions of men than they do on women and kind of dismantle the ingrained prejudices in workplace. I feel like women have way more pressure to succeed and go above and beyond where there might not be the same pressure for men.
I just find it so interesting that at such a young age, like you grow up in this world where it is really equal in lots of, you know, in lots of situations. You know, you run around with your friends, you do whatever, you play football, you have fun, you do, you know, being a girl, you start playing with makeup and you start, you know, exploring that side. But like, when does it change? When do we start being put under all this pressure to meet somebody else's expectations that aren't ours? Men don't get this. Men don't get, to a certain extent, there is this weird narrative that we as women are fed from a young age, but there is a really harsh transition from everything being kind of fun and enjoyable into this area where we are being fed this story of, well, you're going to have to work twice as hard and you're going to have to do twice as much study and you're going to have to prove yourself constantly every single day to be able to reside in an environment people of the opposite gender aren't going to need to do what you're doing. And it is a really difficult thing to grow up thinking that, you know, if I'm not better, I'm not going to be viewed as equal. Therefore, how much work do I actually have to put in to be able to be good? It's such a struggle.
It's daunting.
It's really scary.
And especially as we're all going into the workplace and we're all trying to muster up that confidence. It's just terrifying.
Something that we definitely all deal with, but something that weighs on all of our minds nonetheless. And something that we need to kick up our heels and change.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of what I wanted to get to. So on a daily basis, and I think I've said this about 500 times in the past fortnight since the podcast has been released, but my life motto, honest to God, is fuck it. Just fuck it. And not in a negative way, but in a way that incites participation in activities that I usually wouldn't take part in. For me, it's empowering and it's become somewhat of a mantra.
I love that. Well, you inspired me. I mean, you said this years ago, and I think it's so worthwhile to have this concept or to have this motto sitting in your head when you're doing everything. Like literally just put it in your brain, put it at the front of your brain and just let it sit there.
And draw it out when you really need it.
Absolutely. And I think something that I've reflected on after having now talked to you about this topic and, you know, done research for this podcast is saying fuck it is not by any stretch of the imagination easy. It is a really difficult thing. It's a really difficult practice to put into place.
I think because it's an active choice as well.
Yeah.
Like you're actively choosing to put your fear and, or the fear of judgment aside and just say, you know what, I'm going to do this for me, fuck it.
And you're responsible for it. You and only you are responsible for making yourself think this. There is no one else around you. No one else can hold you accountable for this. This is on you. And I think obviously, as we've been saying, like young women, especially, we're all under so much pressure to meet like unrealistic expectations that are put on us, what it means to be feminine, to be smart, to be pretty, to be driven. But at the end of the day, our lives are our lives, and we have to do what's best for us, and we have to take chances and take risks in order to achieve what we want to achieve.
On that note about it being really hard, coming like from a personal point of view, I was bullied a lot as a child, and into high school I was overweight. I definitely did not fit into the beauty standard of the area that we live in. Well, this is what it felt like to me. If you weren't tall, skinny, tan, blonde, blue eyes, you name it, if you didn't have three out of those five things, then you were kind of an outcast, and you'd get kind of placed in this box of you're nerdy or you're a loser or you're undesirable. And if you weren't explicitly one of those things, then you were what I was, which is outspoken and loud and kind of like the class clown type persona. And because of that, I can be quite abrasive and grating. And it's a way to mask that lack of confidence. In some ways, I feel like the confidence was kind of bullied out of me or taken from me. I mean, I don't like to say taken from me because I was complicit in this. Like, as much as you can't help getting bullied, only you can. I mean, my sister used to say this to me all the time. She was like, only you can decide your emotions. I used to be so angry at her. I would be like, fuck you, it's not my fault. People are assholes. Which is in somewhat true, but you can't help people being assholes, but you can help your reaction to it.
I was just about to say, it's how you react. It's how you let other people's stupid, unnecessary comments affect you. And once again, that is way easier said than done, because when you're young and you're in a very vulnerable position and you have pimples all over your face and you've just gotten your period and you have no idea what weighs up, yeah. There is way more shit that you have to focus on other than some boy saying, like, you look ugly today.
I think there's so much weight on the way that we look. And I think, especially growing up, if you didn't fit into that archetype of what's beautiful, even today, it's easier for women to lose that confidence just based on something so simple, not something simple, but just based on the way
on
we
something
look.
Irrelevant.
It has nothing to do with our capabilities, but our confidence is built in that validation from other people. And more often than not, especially in the area that we grew up in, a lot of that validation came from the way that you looked.
I think one of my favorite kind of rebuttals to this very obvious and very ingrained concept of the beauty standards of our society is, which I love and I constantly refer back to and I constantly bring it up in my head every time I have questions or self-doubt or, you know, I'm not feeling great, is that like your body is literally a vehicle for your brain, for your organs, and for you to get around and live your life. It is your insides that matter. It is your thoughts that matter. It is your emotions that matter. It is your intellect that matters. It is how you treat other people. Your body is a vehicle to facilitate all of that. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter.
Just as hard as it is to detach your worth from social media, it's even harder to detach your worth from the way that you look. As I grow into adulthood and I'm more aware of these things and I'm aware of the reasons why I act certain ways or why I'm very good at faking confidence when I have none of it, it's still really hard to make a change. Sometimes it feels like I'm making one step forward and then two steps backward. Yeah, so I think it's an important conversation to have because we need to start getting better at recognizing these things and also recognizing it in friends as well and being there to support your friends.
And having the really hard conversations that you don't necessarily want to have and that are really difficult to bring up, and giving people that you love the space to speak their truth and to speak about what's happening in their brain and to speak about how they're feeling. We can't really talk about this topic quickly without talking about the subtle art of not giving a fuck either.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, first of all, just side note, that's why I use the mantra fuck it, is because when I'm having those moments of self-doubt and I'm having those
second guessing, questioning everything,
just crippling feelings of, oh my God, you're a failure, which happens. I mean, I'm making this sound like this is doomsday stuff. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's something that we have to deal with a lot.
And that can be really damaging to your day, your week, your month, your ability to
get out of bed in the morning,
get stuff done. Yeah, your ability to do everything.
Saying fuck it all the time, much to my grandmother's dismay, which I have been told she hates, You just have to say, fuck it. Just fuck it. Fuck it.
And have a go. One of my favorite quotes out of The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which, I mean, the whole book is pretty much like a quote in itself.
I think this is just like, this book is a good...
It's like a bit of a manifesto for like running through things and like a bit of a timeline on like what you should actually be giving a fuck about and what you shouldn't.
And this book, it sold over 8 million copies worldwide and it's got Chris Hemsworth endorsing it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Thor, duh, who's not going to buy that? Kelsey.
I would, yeah.
Marvel extraordinaire. So one of my favorite quotes is, "You and everyone you know are going to be dead soon. And in the short amount of time between here and there, you have limited amounts of fucks to give. Very few, in fact. And if you go around giving a fuck about everything and everyone without conscious thought or choice, well then, you're going to get fucked."
I like how he kind of boils it down to three things. And that's, not giving a fuck doesn't mean being indifferent. You must give a fuck about more than adversity. And you can't be frivolous about your fucks. How good is that word, second of all?
Oh my gosh. Frivolous. I was just great about word. To say, it's such a delightful word. And especially when it's followed by fucks.
Frivolous fucks.
Frivolous about your fucks.
Wow, that's good impact. It's got a bit of punch.
Oh, it's delightful.
They're good teachings. Choosing the important things to give a fuck about that adhere to your values and your ethics and your morals and fucking off everything else.
Like, it's prioritizing our fucks. We all need to prioritize our fucks.
Yeah.
Where are they going to go and to whom? Yeah. And is that whom worth our fuck or are they not?
Yeah.
Or is that what worth our fuck or are they not?
I feel like when you start giving a fuck about things like your friend owing you 5 cents, I feel like that's when you need to like do some reflective work and like adjust your fucks a little bit.
It's literally my pet peeve.
I've had that sometimes. Can you transfer me that 28 cents?
I think this is why Kelsey and I have been friends for so long. Because they're like, you owe me $5. It's like, I'll buy you coffee. Okay, cool. Bye. Done. Love you. And then that's it.
Yeah. There's no, but it,
there's
I
no
think
questions.
It's worked out quite equally over the years.
Absolutely. I think that there's an interesting paradox of this because, as you previously stated, this concept of like not giving a fuck can be associated with this kind of carefree, nonchalant attitude when it's like it literally just is about picking where your fucks go. And sometimes you really have to give a fuck. Like if you really love something, give a fuck. Yeah, if you really want that job, give a fuck.
And work at it.
And work at it.
But that's what I mean. Like simplify your fucks down, get rid of the fucks that don't matter and give fight a fuck. For the ones that do matter.
Amen.
Bella. Quick think.
Tell me.
What do you give a fuck about? Three things. Go.
My dog, because she's the cutest thing in the whole entire world. Kelsey can
granted,
testify
justified,
on that.
Justified, yes.
My relationships, because everyone in my life is really important to me and I love and care about all my beautiful friends and family. And tacos.
Nice.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
I'm shocked.
I was like, how deep are we going here?
No. And then... Can I give one more?
You can give one more.
Thanks. Yeah. And also equality. Feminism and equality is something that I care so much about.
You just added another fuck in there.
I'm just going
to. Oh, you're going to merge them together.
We're just going
to. Oh, yeah, they do go.
I'm just going to do a little plus, a little and.
Parentheses.
Yeah, we'll just parentheses that. Being a woman and growing up, we are faced with difficult. What are those things called? Hurdles. We're faced with so many
hurdles. What are those things called? Hurdles.
Shut up. We are faced with so many hurdles and there's so many things stopping us and I just want to talk about it and unpack it and understand it better and I want to constantly be living for people to be more equal in their communications, in their actions, in their behaviours. It is something that I care so much about. Kelsey, quick fucks.
Oh, that, it works.
Hey, that's your brain, not my brain.
True. Mine are just relationships, social justice, and equality, if I had to boil it down to three things.
And pickles.
Oh, pickles. I forgot about, how did I forget about pickles? We should have just said, what's your food fuck? Oh, this will get translated.
Oh my gosh,
so
this
wrong.
Is amazing.
But okay.
I have too many food fucks to count, so we'd be sitting here for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Just on like a little fun side note, I can't not talk about this because in our research I came across this movie on Netflix called The Fuck It List. It was directed by Michael Duggan, starring Eli Brown, who I had no idea was a person until I watched that movie, but people were talking about it. He might be important. Look, essentially it's about an 18-year-old high school achiever kind of having like a quarter-life crisis after getting blamed for accidentally blowing up the school. And he creates a fuck it list as a big middle finger to his parents and then he becomes an influencer, I guess.
I do not know how that series of events like equates to
I know.
A movie
it
timeline.
Does. Yeah. But look, all I could think, I mean, if anybody is listening to this, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody over the age of 16. It's a good shitty movie, kind of.
It's a good concept.
It's a good premise, but they've missed the mark. All I could think was, why isn't this movie told from a woman's perspective or literally anybody but a white cis male? Like, this movie could have been so much more nuanced, thought-provoking and considered coming from anybody else's perspective. We already know that this affects women and minorities differently to men. Why isn't it coming from that perspective? Like, we have so many stories about the apparent struggles of men, at least in this context.
This could have been an amazing opportunity to tell a story and to allow a point of view that hasn't really been, you know, expressed in media or art, you know, within that age group as much as it could have, as much as it should have at this current point in 2020. Just bugs me when, you know, they have an awesome opportunity to make something really worthwhile and then they miss it out.
And also, can we kind of stop perpetuating the idea that to be successful you must have a million followers on Instagram or Twitter? Like, nothing against influencers. I genuinely believe that influencers have a hard job. They're not only putting their whole lives on social media for the world to scrutinize, but making content all the time is difficult. It is a hard job, and
it does take a lot of time and effort and energy, and you are exposing yourself to a huge portion of people that would otherwise not know you existed. And it does, you know, open the doors for, you know, lots of criticism and lots of judgment. And it is really difficult. And it is a super valid profession, I think, especially in 2020. Like, more than ever have we seen the power of the influencer and their ability to create trends and discuss worthwhile topics. I mean, you know, we have seen a huge rise in, you know, activist influencers and people that are actually talking about topics that are really worthwhile. It's still the quality of the content, though. This is what we're saying. It's not about your followers or your likes.
It's about
what you're sharing, what you're saying. Is it going to be worthwhile? Is it valuable to people? Is it helpful?
Yeah.
Are you leaving a positive impact? It doesn't matter about the number of followers you have. It matters about what you're saying.
I just worry for, what is it? Is it Jen? Jen, is it the Zed? Really? No, I think there's another one.
Are we Gen Z? We're going to have to go and do some research on this and come back to you.
Well, at least like the tweens coming up now, they genuinely believe that their whole life is revolved around Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Because it does.
I know it does, but it can be, I worry. And also, just like side note, from a production point of view, I mean, I do production at uni with journalism. Since I've done production, it has become blatantly obvious to me how many things happen in post-production instead of planning properly and doing them on set. Now, what happens in this movie all the time is when clearly they've added in a line in post-production, and what they usually do is that they kind of misdirect the eye and get you looking at another character, but then it's the other person talking, but they're actually not talking on set. It's a voiceover. And you can always tell because if you stay with the person who's talking and you watch their mouth, it's not moving. And they did it like 3 times in this movie. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? Is this intentional? Is this meant to be happening? And then I realized, no, this is just a fuck up post-production.
I love when Kelsey gets passionate about production. It's actually the funnest thing to watch. I wish you could watch it.
It will ruin your life. Because
is like so into this. Yeah. It's wonderful.
But
also, I agree with you because now that you've pointed that out to me, I have been watching every show and every movie with a fine tooth comb with my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it has made like lots of things glaringly obvious that I have never noticed before.
It will ruin your life.
But also, it's really fun.
Another thing that happens in movies all the time is, you know that shot when they're driving? And if this shot comes on the scene where the majority of the screen, like the negative space, is filled with a window, or like the car window, like the driver will be talking and they're looking over to the passenger, but you're keeping on the person that's driving, and then the truck will come in to the, like, that's when they get like hit by a car or something. Do you know that? It happens all the time. Whenever that shot comes on screen, you know a truck's coming. Like, it's coming.
I thought you were going to say, you know, when you're watching a car scene and then in the background, in like the rear view window or the rear window, you can see that it's like just a fake landscape.
Fuck, I feel like we're really bad at explaining scenes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It happens in Gilmore Girls constantly and I always watch it and I'm like, that is a green screen. Like a hardcore green screen. Oh, green. And it looks so bad.
Green screens are actually becoming like Green screens are becoming less, we're not going to go into fucking Avatar, but like we've, okay, this conversation's gone on long enough.
However, we will talk about Avatar at another point because delightful.
Delightful. So, okay, Bella, some key takeaways from today's episode.
Tell me your key takeaways. Let's go, Curly.
I think actively checking in with yourself about the reasons why you're feeling like an imposter and questioning it is really important. Imposter syndrome fades with age because it's evidence-based. So always remind yourself of your achievements, no matter how small. They could just be getting out of bed when you're in a depressive slump. That's an achievement. And attribute them to you, not any type of other external circumstance, and just be really conscious of that behavior.
Also, check in with your friends. Say, how are you going? Figure out different ways to say, how are you, if how are you isn't working.
And another takeaway is think hard about the fucks you give and simplify. Why can't I say that word?
Simplify your fucks.
Think hard about the fucks you give and simplify your fuck it list to the things that actually, to the things that you actually give a fuck about, no matter what the patriarchy tells you to give a fuck about.
Absolutely.
That's another hard word to say, patriarchy. Oh, it's not that
you
hard.
Don't like peas.
I don't like
There's
peas.
There's lots of peas in here that we're having problems with.
And number three is always watch people's mouths in movies because it's quality entertainment.
You go, girl. I'm all for that. Let's do it. And also, just remember, just a pleasant reminder from your gals, Bella and Kels. Just say fuck it.
Yeah, just say fuck it sometimes. The things that don't
matter and fuck the things that do. Ooh, yeah. That could be taken out of context.
I think when you're feeling down and you're lacking in confidence and you're feeling like you can't do something, fuck it. What's the worst you have? Like, what have you got to lose? I think at this age, we don't really have super intense responsibilities. Mind you, some of us may do. We come from very privileged positions where we were able to, unfortunately, still be living at home, so we don't have the burden of, you know, a mortgage or rent to pay at the moment, but we definitely will in the future. So,
but just give things a go that you want to try, you
yeah
know?
Give things a go that you want to try.
And don't that can be anything from like applying for a job that you think that you'd be really good at,
starting a podcast,
texting the boy, or deciding not to because wine's fuck better, that. Friends are better. You know, there's so many different
you
things
got some
that
angst
we can
there,
say.
Bella?
There's so many different things that you can say fuck it to. It's not just the big things, it's the little things too that could really just make a difference in your life and make you.
It's made me feel better.
That little
coming,
bit happier.
That's coming from a person with chronic anxiety. So,
Kelsey got a smile on her face.
Woo! Woo-woo. Hey, I always have a smile on my face.
You do. You're really pretty.
Yeah, thanks.
Love you.
Thanks.
So if you love this episode, we'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback. Please follow us on Instagram at 23_podcast.
Just to clarify, that's at 23_podcast.
Yeah, but 23 the number, not 23 the word, because it was 23 the word and they changed
it. Just imagine if people are writing in 23 the number, writing 23 and then writing the number.
I was trying to be clear and it ended up not working. Follow us on Instagram at 23_podcast. Share it with your friends, your family. Listen to it with your dog. We know that your dog would love it because we've obviously got lots of interesting and valid points
to make.
Just
to clarify, that's 23 the number, not 23 the spelling?
The word. Letters.
The word. And it would really help us out if you gave us a review on Apple iTunes.
And subscribe to our account on Spotify because you can't leave a review on Spotify.
Yeah. Just subscribe to us in general because...
And just send us fun messages because we love reading fun messages.
We've received some great feedback with the first episode. It's been really nice to hear that it's been received well. We hope we can continue doing that, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye, Belle.
Bye, Kels.